Gentlemen, welcome, welcome to the No Cash, No Code podcast. I am your commissioner, somehow, something's not been kicked out, and Mr. Andre Clark, and I am joined by, well, top of the league and everyone's favorite podcaster, Mr. Tom Maxwell. Tom, how are you?
Hello, Andre. I'm doing all right, thank you. Still clinging on to top of the league, but it's all getting a little bit tight up there.
Is it? I haven't scored up, so let me check. For me, I am feeling rested, recharged. It's the first time I've looked forward to an international break. I think that's got to tell you a lot about how my season's going. Thank you for the commiseration text, everyone. And no, I did nothing in particular to the fantasy gods. I need to change something. Let's start with the podcast. So today, we're going to change the running order, listener. We're going to confuse you a little bit. I have not only one-time champion Tom Maxwell, I have, I think, the second most popular person on the podcast. He's probably overtaken Jeff Brown now for episodes. Manager of the month for October. Is it a multiple time champion? Damien, welcome to the podcast. Damien Pronti, how are you?
Yeah, very good. Very good, Andre. Thank you. Thank you and Tom for having me. Single title winner. Should, would
Really?
have, could have been multi-title winner if it wasn't for final day calamity of picking a Man United player and assuming we would beat Cardiff way back when. But lesson
I'm
learned, never
sorry to make you relive it
not
there.
that not that it still lingers in the memory. Not that I
I
remember it was Paul Pogba specifically. No bitterness as a Man United fan in that.
Oh dear.
think the NCNC annuals actually still has you penciled in, you know, when they start sketching it on the trophy too early. So that's why I had you down for two. So let's get our trophies out. How many titles do we have in this room right now? Only joking. Mine are in black and white. Yours do actually matter. So I am privileged to be joined by. Listener, listen to this. I might pick something up today. Not only have they both won No Cash, No Code titles in the modern era, not only are they both flying high most seasons, this is number one and number two in the current league standings. I feel like a fraud, but glad to have you, Damien. So let's talk through. Should we go straight to the month that was? It's the first day of the new month. And Damien, listener, because he knows what he's doing. Hits the wild card at the start of the month. Talk us through the wild card team. If you're watching at home, we are going to game week eight, and there are some gorgeous picks. I'm going to spoiler right now, actually. Do you mind if I read out the team? We've got Turner in goal, fairly standard. Van de Ven, I think that was the only 15-point defender from Spurs at that time. Trippier, Cash, Neto, when he was still a thing. Diaby, Madison, he's gone Salah. He's got Son. He's got Haaland, he's got Watkins. Wowzers, talk us through it.
Yeah, so it was a very much I'm going to go for it with this wild card in the sense that I was all in on Villa, maxed out on three Villa players. I was all in on Spurs, three players. I knew I wanted Haaland, I knew I wanted Salah, Trippier again just because he seems to be in everyone's team, and the rest was a kind of makeshift, you know, Neto, Turner, Areola on the bench. My bench is sort of a bargain basement for anyone who was likely to get minutes, but it was very much I'm going to focus on the 11. I'm going to go all in on specific teams, and it's going to be boom or bust. And the Van de Ven, I'd love to be able to say was a inspired pick of deciding to go with him over Porro, Udogie, but it was all to do with budget constraints, and that
Oh,
has ended
God.
up playing a big old bit of luck. The only positive I'll take, or the bit of skill I'll take, is messaging a Spurs season ticket holder friend and saying, "Does Van de Ven go up for corners for you guys? And does he look dangerous?" That was the extent of my research,
Mate,
but it was a
that's
bargain.
fantastic research. Talking to Spurs fans, I mean, you're really pushing yourself here, so fair enough. I mean, that's really going the extra mile there.
So yeah, and the that was the sort of logic behind it, and it kind of everything kind of fell into place where, you know, sort of Spurs have obviously kept a clean sheets. I think it was Madison assist their first game. Villa, you know, Watkins hit a bit of form. Diaby did all right. I think Cash hasn't worked out so well. And, you know, Salah has done well. It was a weird month where the team as a whole did very well. I got the captaincy pick wrong every single week, all three times.
I mean, I was about to say that it's startling how well you've done. I think, well, in 1 week you've tied it, as in like it was a 50-50 call and both got. That's last week, just the other week, Sean, 16 each. But yeah, every other week you've managed to avoid it, which just shows the depth of your squad overall. Speaking of which, there's been a running theme this year. I think, Tom, correct me if I'm wrong, is this the first time we've heard the manager say it was about making sure the first 11 got all the cash?
Well, it's something we've discussed a lot about, Damien, and I'm a very big believer in the smaller bench, bigger team. Interesting to see whether that's been the case all season and how you think about that going into a Christmas period where we're probably all going to need our benches.
So yeah, I'll tread a line about not giving away too much, but it's early on in the season, it was, I don't think early on in the season, it was a little bit, I want to have a little bit of a bench. I don't want to go first 11 and nobody playing. So there'll always be, someone, at least one player. I'm happy to have a defender who doesn't play, 4 million defender, but I at least want someone who's going to play. Archer was the sort of go-to for loads of people. And yeah, I think when it came to the wild card, I was like, right, are these the fixtures I want to, these are the fixtures I want to attack. These are the teams who I think this month they're going to have a good month. These are the players in those teams I think are going to do well. So it was just go all in. And, if Villa and Spurs had a hit, a rough patch with their form, then I'd be nowhere near. It was very much this is it, boom or bust. And it's kind of this season I've kind of gone with that a little bit, that mentality so far as well. Like, where I can, I was looking at my team before this. I've doubled up on defence where I can. I doubled Chelsea defence at one point, double Brentford, double Arsenal on game week one. I know there was the whole, was it Saliba, Gabriel who was dropped for me. I was like, well, I've got Saliba and Gabriel, so it doesn't really matter. But yeah, very deliberate. It's either going to go well or it's not, and I'm sticking with it this season. So we'll see how that carries on.
And
There
it's been a
was.
remarkably consistent season from you so far. And if I think about, we're obviously sort of neck and neck at the top of the league at the moment. We've had very different seasons where I've red arrowed almost every week and had two monster weeks, and you've had very consistent, sort of steady green arrows and have been in the top 100K since pretty much since you wildcarded, right? And I suggest that's probably that consistency is probably what one is after if one wants to win no cash, no co by the end of the season.
it's a weird one, and I find it sort of generally with pick of the week manager of the week. It's a weird one where I'm never a 9 or 10 out of 10 in the week. I'm very rarely up there for either of them, but it's always a 7, 8, and it's consistent and it's there. So it sort of just keeps ticking along, which is probably horrendously annoying if you're up against it. But it's sort of, yeah, very little airtime, but then you look at the table and it's, oh, hello, still there.
I was about to say that. I often get off a pod and I'm like, I still haven't mentioned Damien. I don't know why this is. It's like your lows are never quite low enough and you stay under the radar. But I mean, you've been there or thereabouts for a few seasons in a row now, and you don't seem to get the big decisions wrong at all. So no, it's wonderfully consistent. Talking about the players that you've gone for, you just said about attacking teams and attacking the fixtures. Cliche question, but listener wants to know, slash I'm trying to learn again now. Which one's primary for you? If you have to pick between this guy's playing out of his skin versus I'm going to double up on the defense because I just like the fixtures they're coming up, is there one that has a heavy preference over the other for you between the fixtures and form conundrum?
I'll pick the player who's playing better, whoever looks sharper. I every now and again, I want to take a punt where I think this team, they're not getting the results, but maybe they're due a turn, or conversely, where a team's doing well and they're due a dip to sort of level out. But no, for me, it's if someone looks sharp, and I'm all about watching the games. My ridiculous season, however many years ago it was, when I, ran away with the league, that was one of the COVID years where every game was on telly, and
Yep, I remember
locked
well.
lockdown. So it just meant easy for me to watch, for me as an FPL manager. If I can see the
Listener,
match, I'm doing well.
if you weren't aware what a ridiculous season is, 378 in the world.
Amazing.
300. That there's no points, there's no commas in that. 378, an unbelievable season. On this very podcast, some scandalous terms were thrown around in regards to your name not long ago. I'm not going to say by which of the two hosts, but your team had been referred to as statistically the most template in the league. How do you feel about that?
I can't question this. Can't question if there's been some statistics that have gone with it. I can't question it. But it's one of those. It's popular for a reason, and you know that they are the players who had the fixtures that look good. Obviously, the FPL app now makes it your green, amber, red fixture things. I don't pay attention too much to that, but you know they're popular for a reason. They're players who are clearly looking good. For me, it was a case of I could hold on to the wild card maybe for a few more weeks. I could. And ride out a few players who I was holding at the time and thought, oh, I don't know, or just be aggressive with it this season. So I think it's a little bit of Diaby was a little bit of a sort of inspired choice. I said Van de Ven was luck. If truth be told, if budget had have not been in the equation, I probably would have ended up with Udogie, and that would have been a bit much more of a painful experience because I think he got injured at some point in the month. But yeah, I think I'm happy. It's getting the core people in. The debate was always, oh, Son's good, oh, Salah's good. Obviously, Haaland, everyone has Haaland in their team. Who do you balance? Why balance? If you fancy them to do it, just pick your big hitters, get them in and see what you can sort of slot in with whatever budget you got left.
So interestingly, you've just been overtaken this week for most template team by Nick Mick, who we may get onto a bit later with one of the awards. The irony is that Nick's team effectively has 14 of the 15 are just about the most highly owned players in the game. The only one that he doesn't have is Haaland, and he's gone Hoyland. So I'm wondering if just assume that that's just a glitch in the matrix and that it's actually Haaland.
Typo.
The rest of the team is as boilerplate as it comes.
The wish.com version.
Totally. Andre, I'm wary of time.
Yep. No. I think that was
as we go into our normal awards.
Love to, but there's one bit we've missed out that we never like to miss, which is just the last one, a doffing of the cap, I guess, the league in general, and a slight pat on the back of myself. How did you find No Cash, No Code? What was your journey to get here? And then we'll move on to the more relevant stuff for now.
So my journey to No Cash, No Code was via an old friend of mine I went to uni with, best mate of mine, I was best man at his wedding the other year, Jan McIntosh, who used to work with Andre, God knows how many years ago, probably would have been now.
Tom as well.
I'd worked with Tom Jan as well.
Mac, yeah.
There we go.
From the hallowed halls of Token Yard.
So 1 degree of separation, which is always a nice way in. And sort of, yeah, having done well in a FPL league with Jan, Jan said, oh, it's another one here if you want to get involved with. I'm always struggling, sort of see what you can do. And I've kind of never looked back.
Thanks for that, Jan, because Jan has never come back. So his little present for the league was a almost two-time champion. It's great just watching you two on. Listener, we're doing this on Zoom, so I'm watching these two competitive faces as you're analyzing the team, and it's an absolute joy. This is the first one I wish we were putting out as a video rather than a podcast, because it's been wonderful to watch you guys pick through the team. One that is proudly a differential swinger, and the other one is captain template at the moment. But anyway, enough of the past. We're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to get into the last week that was again. So yeah, back shortly. Gentlemen, welcome back to the No Cash, No Code podcast. I'm joined by two top of the table No Cash, No Code champions who are going to teach us all, especially me, a little bit about fantasy football. Let's review the week that was. Tom, do you want to remind us of the games that happened?
Let's do that. No one likes an international week, and so we've all probably forgotten. Goals galore again. The Premier League season with a lot of goals, a lot of points out there. We started the weekend with Spurs losing at Wolves, which I can imagine, Andre Clark, you might have enjoyed rather a lot. Arsenal beat Burnley, but didn't keep the clean sheet, but did have some defender goals, which I imagine we might get to shortly. United crept over the line against Luton, and then Newcastle were beaten soundly at Bournemouth. So good couple of turn-ups for teams higher up the league. Sunday had a couple of absolutely cracking games in it. Brighton, disappointing 1-1 draw with Sheffield United for those of us who own Brighton players. Liverpool took care of Brentford, clean sheet there, which certainly helped those that kept hold of their cheap Liverpool defenders. More on that later. And then the two best games of the weekend were both on telly on Sunday afternoon. West Ham 3, Forest 2 was an absolute belter, only bettered by Chelsea 4, Man City 4, which for those of us who support one of those two teams was probably slightly less enjoyable than for those who were watching as a neutral. But points galore for anyone and everyone really who owned any attacking players in that game. And an absolute feast of football for all of us, frankly. And we can only hope that the Liverpool-Man City game, which comes up crack of dawn on Saturday, lives up to that level. Did you watch that game, Andre?
Unfortunately, I couldn't watch that one live, the Man City-Chelsea game, because Monday night football for me is just not a thing. That works out to be my Monday morning, I believe, that one. It's just the time zone doesn't work. One of those ones where you wake up, you check the score, and you're like, is this really happening? And really enjoyed watching the highlights afterwards. Game of the season, I don't think would be an understatement. And as you said, goals galore, and yet some of us didn't get any points again. The highlight for me was definitely I left the house with Spurs winning, walked down to my local to watch on simultaneous screens. They have Man United on one and Arsenal on the other, and I didn't actually realise it had happened until I could see Tactics Tim Sherwood on the screen with a face like a smack bottom, and had to actually check what just happened. So that's my personal highlight. We are conscious on time. We've got to speed through this one for a change. So where would you like to start, team or pick, me or you?
Team, please. I will do first and then we will hear your pick of the week. It was a very, very good week for a number of people in the league, none of whom are on this podcast today. But we had 10, 10 people in the 90s, which is a cracking effort. Nevin, Dylan, Stephen Hill, Jeremy May, all in the 90s. Ned, 94 points. Steve, 95 points. Love to see him back in form. Top two, though. Harry, really, really good week from him. Particularly, he's held on to James Ward-Prowse for quite a long time. He's had a quieter period, 11 points for JWP. The big differential in his team. But effectively, to get 90, you needed to have both Haaland and Salah, captain one of them, plus Shinnecast. That was kind of the template for a good week. But team of the week absolutely goes to Jay Brick, who was incredibly unlucky not to hit the 100 burger, ended up on 99 points. Salah cap got him off and running. Haaland in there as well. But the Shimakas obviously has to be in there. The two differentials for him, Bowen, not a huge differential, but still only 35% owned, continues to be an absolute point machine this season, despite his team, West Ham, statistically struggling. But the real pick from him was Adingra, 9 points, 2% owned. Someone who I'm sure has been on plenty of radars and was the one Brighton player who got some points out of a home game that they were expected to win comfortably against Sheffield United. 99 points overall. Very, very good week for Jay. And he is team of the week.
With the quote of the week, I happened to see our boy Jay this week. I was in sunny Sydney for work, and that's where Jacob now lives, and popped around to his house for two events. Event number one, he opened the front door and said, "I picked Adingra." That was his opening line. Haven't seen the boy in 5 years. And then he followed that up by taking an absolute tonking on FIFA because nothing's changed. So good to see you, Brick. Congratulations on the engagement and well done on getting team of the week. Let's roll straight into the next one. Damien, I think we might need you for some advice on Hurt because there's so much to go around and maybe help decide on which one you want to go with. But pick was pretty easy. Pick couldn't actually be any easier, if I'm honest. I did the usual, went through the various runners and riders, high scorers. Turns out Neto was the highest scoring goalkeeper. A lot of people had Netos in their team. Wrong Neto. That's playing the wrong position. Most transferred out player was also the same name as the goalkeepers. That was wasting my time. Surprisingly, Solanke, 13 points. Not in a single team. Everyone's last year bench darling and selection benching headache wasn't in any of the squads, being replaced by Archer. So, as Tom mentioned, Arsenal defenders were quite useful to have. As long as you didn't pick Ben White, you were going to be fine. Great. Thanks for that. Zinchenko is in not one but two teams. Often mentioned Hugo Gordon-Lennox and everyone's favourite differential picker. More, oh, is that true? Might be Elijah nowadays. Ade was also a Zinchenko owner. That doesn't work around these parts. You can't have two. It can only be one. Yes, it wasn't technically the highest score, but 2.3% owned in the world. Rob Leach, take a bow. The Trossard show was magnificent, an absolute joy to watch. A reincarnation of Santi Cazorla with a little bit more finishing. It was fun to watch and even better to know that one of us, one amongst us, had picked him as captain. Now, the shine was taken off the captaincy, obviously, with the two most common captains getting 16 points each. But since he doesn't own one of those two, double kudos to you. He put his... I almost said something that would get us off the parental advisory. Actually, on this note, meant to say this earlier, we don't swear on this podcast, and I'm really proud of that. There's a box I need to tick. Shout out to my favourite WhatsApp message from No Cash, No Code this week. I've got a lovely video from Luke Danes. I'm embarrassed to say Tom, the more interesting of the two podcasters, is live in his children's bedroom as they've fallen asleep to the dulcet tones of No Cash, No Code being played across the speakers. I've actually walked into my own kid's bedroom and heard that happening as well as it rolls through. But anyway, yeah, back to the point.
Anyone who has kids who can't sleep, you're welcome. Just stick it on.
I digress when we don't have time. Rob Leach, 13-point Trossard, pick of the week. Take a bow, son. That's the good stuff. We're ready. Tom, take us through it. Where's the pain?
Well, when I think about pain, there are probably three things that I look at first. Least points scored in the week, always a nice, easy starting point. Most points on the bench and worst set of transfers.
So much.
This week, basically the same person won all three of those awards, and therefore it's really, really hard to see there being much of an argument for her to the week not being Andy Fisk.
Thank God.
The second least amount of points in the game week with 53, but he took a -8 hit, which gave him 45. So he was the only person who didn't hit 50 points overall in the week. Secondly, he left Shimikas at the end of his bench, 15 points. He also had Alvarez, 5 points, and Leno's 2 points on his bench. So 22 points on the bench. There was a number of people who were around that mark because Shimikas obviously scored points for everyone's bench who left in there. But the thing that really tips it over the edge is the transfers. And I sent you these transfers, Andre, before the game week even started and said, I think Hurt of the Week award might already be wrapped up. So yeah. The first transfer was to remove Haaland for Eddie Nketiah. So that's a -15 all by itself. The fact that he also, by the way, decided not to captain Salah, who he did still have, and instead went for Saka, lost him even more points. But Haaland to Nketiah, -15 in one go. And Mbeumo was taken out for Saka, who he then captained. So that's positive points, but forced him into a captaincy pick that got to the wrong place. Romero was brought in for Trippier. Now, neither of those two added any value at all. Romero obviously was suspended. Trippier, 1 point. And Gabriel was taken out for White. And obviously, that was absolutely not the right pick either. So I haven't even added up the total because the maths was so complicated, it hurt my brain. But let's say he took out a lot of points and he brought in very few points. He picked the wrong captain. He ended up with 45 net. And it just couldn't have been a more calamitous week.
So, I mean, It was a who's who of mistakes. The algorithm has him tied for the worst net points. But I agree with you. I don't think it's calculated correctly. So he's on minus 21 net points for the week. But there are factors, like you said, with the captaincy that definitely wouldn't have happened. Damien, over to you. As a fellow Shimmercast bencher, were you expecting you'd be able to compete for pick of the week? Or is that, hurt of the week? Or is that the worst you've seen so far?
I think what's painful about this is he's gone for it. He's, you know, this is, I'm making four transfers. I'm taking a minus eight. I'm putting in three Arsenals. The Arsenal home to Burnley. I'm going for this. If that's me, you know, if I'm putting my feet in Andy's shoes, I'm going into this week thinking, yeah, I've gone for this. I fancy this. I'm hoping for good things. And it couldn't have gone much worse. It's, yeah, that's...
I mean, the logic's there, right? It's a 3-0. Well, it looked like it was going to be a 3-0 home win. We concede, but every defender scores. He picks the only defender that doesn't get onto the pitch. It's just horrific. Horrific. But congratulations, Andy, because for a first season, no cash, no coda, you've got an awful lot of airtime this year, which is quite an achievement in itself.
Can I also just add, I've only just spotted this, that Andy Fisk has had 63 points on his bench in the last 3 weeks.
Good Lord, that is easily going to be the worst. Well, don't do the math. That is easily going to be the worst. I think he's also got the most transfers this season. Yeah, he's got 17 transfers this year. So he is the most prolific transferer. And maybe there's an argument that should be calmed down. Guys, we've hit time. The last thing I wanted to just share with is you guys aren't playing on a level playing field, just so you know. Tom Maxwell is currently the underdog for this. I know you are top of the league, but Moneybags Prunty has got the most cash in the league sloshing around in his template team right now. So good luck to the underdog. One title each, not much between them. I'm looking forward to Damien's next manager of the month so we can have another chat and see how we're all doing. But been an absolute pleasure, boys.
On that point, Andre, this weekend, I think I'm right in saying, is the last week of this month. Next game week starts 2nd of December. It's a very, very
international weekend.
Very short month. We've got Stephen Hill 5 points ahead of Freddie Williams and Dylan Ratcliffe. So we have got a stacked top of the leaderboard with few former champions in there. And so it will be interesting to see who we've got on the pod soon enough again.
It will be. I'm already rooting for the next three, though. Sorry to spoil that. Elijah, Yanis, and Jay. So you've got three title contenders and three very differential style managers in the top six. Let's go. Let's see how it all works out. Gents, absolute pleasure. Damien, thank you for yet another visit. Looking forward to your next one. Go well.
Thanks, chat.
Thank you.
Great stuff.
Lovely.
Catch you later.
All good. Catch you later. Cheers. Bye.